Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. It is time to go riding with the king. Hey. Howard Eskin set to join us. Of course, he's brought to you by McGurk's Pub and Grill. McGurk's is opening up two more locations in the next couple months. One in Royersford, another one in Langhorne. Be sure to check them out. Make it McGurk's after another Eagles victory. 8 in a row. Howard, how are we doing today?
Oh, we're doing great. But you know what? I feel bad.
For who?
For you guys.
Why?
All right. You know, I'm embarrassed.
Why feel bad, Howard?
I'm
I mean, this is great.
I'm embarrassed.
You feel bad for you.
No.
That terrible
I'm,
take.
Yeah, you should. Mm-hmm. The fact that I'm talking to you nitwits and dopes. Okay, let's start with you guys ain't driving the bus. All right?
No, I'm a passenger. I'm not driving.
Because you've already jumped off the bandwagon. Mm-hmm. You jumped off early. So you have to beg people to let you on the bus.
This is our trip.
You took the trip from me.
Howard
it
took
was
it from
spiraling,
you.
The bus was spiraling out of control with you two nitwits. All right. That's okay. So you wanted to fire the head coach who has unbelievable legendary. That's a word
you may not understand. Hold
but
on.
You understand.
Can we stop with the legendary stuff?
Wait a minute. He's got a career winning percentage. It's the sixth best in NFL history.
Through less than 5 years,
it doesn't matter.
Of course it does.
Wait a minute. Through five, how many years do you think John Madden coached?
John, I don't know, 10, 8?
Maybe eight, nine years.
And he also won the Super Bowl.
Wait a minute. Nick Sirianni is a very good coach. I don't call him a great coach because that takes time.
Oh, okay.
But his numbers are legendary, you nitwit.
I don't care about his regular season winning.
Okay.
If you're trying to tell me he's in the same category as John Madden, what are we doing here?
Well, we're not comparing different eras. I'm looking at the records.
It's a good
if you guys want to chirp on, you know, who gets what record. And Saquon Barkley is a great player. But, you know, you're comparing him to different eras and different games. So that's what we do.
Sure.
Okay. But the reality is he's a great coach who has legendary numbers. And can you imagine if you got your way and had him fired, this team would have been in a no direction whatsoever. Who were they going to hire? This is the things you don't think about the results.
Sure, I wanted Bill Belichick at the bye.
Bill Belichick. St- stinks as a head coach.
Oh, come on, Howard, stop.
Okay.
Howard, I want to give Sirianni credit too, and I think I'm being fair.
Bill Belichick is a joke. He had Tom Brady.
Nick Sirianni's been given the best roster in the league since he
These guys wouldn't play for Bill Belichick. Wouldn't play for him. They wouldn't go through
a wall. And I know also give Howie credit, but this is a roster story. This roster is because of Howie. That's why they're so good.
Wait a minute. It doesn't mean, if you have a good roster, doesn't mean that you are going to win.
I agree. And he deserves credit for moving it forward. But we're making it sound like he's taking the little sisters of the poor and winning games.
Zach Bond has played unbelievable.
And that's a Vic Fangio thing, Howard. Howard.
But it still takes coaching. It still takes the head coach to instill in the players.
He does a good job, yes.
Okay. He's done a nice job this season.
Everyone acknowledges that.
I'm done with you. You're an idiot. All right. So you wanted a fireman, hire Bill Belichick.
Yeah,
I did. My God. That would have been the worst thing in the world. That would have been a complete farce. Mm-hmm. A complete farce. Bill Belichick.
Before we use the word legendary, Howard, he's been here 5 years now, right? This is his fifth year.
I said numbers.
As of today, he's got two playoff wins. They were over Daniel Jones and Josh Johnson. Can we reserve legendary for next month?
I don't care. He got playoff wins.
Howard, it might have been the easiest path to get to a Super Bowl in the last 25 years.
There's a lot of teams that had easy.
If
you go back and look at the teams that New England played with Tom Brady, mm-hmm. first of all, they played in a division that was the worst in football for 15 years. Mm. So he always had a bye.
Oh, this is a pretty bad division right now, if we're being real. Okay. I mean, it is.
But they were the worst for 15 years.
I understand that. I'm just saying, Howard,
so
I want to wait until
who they played and what they did. I'm done with
legendary?
You.
Legendary? We wait until the playoffs before legendary.
I'm done with you.
Done with you. Go
Hugh
ahead.
Douglas.
Yes.
Do you realize defense means something? Do you finally realize that?
They're playing well.
Without this defense, they would have had probably at least two more losses. This defense kept this team in games until the offense got it rolling. Remember, this team still doesn't score in the first. I don't know what's going on in the first quarter.
That's crazy.
The defense has played so unbelievably.
Tell them, Howard.
They need defense, and they got it. And this defense is the MVP of this team. It's not even close. They are so good, and they're so physical. They're so different from last year with the physicality and what they do. And I mean, they tackle people. That was amazing. Looking at the end of last year, they tackle people. But it's something that's instilled in the players. Vic Fangio does a good job. Nick Sirianni has these guys. I haven't talked to one player. And I talked to a bunch of them. One player that doesn't love this guy and won't do everything possible. He instills this, you know, his message on Saturday night was toughness. And he mentioned it yesterday in the game that was his message. The Ravens think they're tough. We're tougher. And he got these guys to believe it. And it might be the truth. But he got these guys to believe. That's not easy for a head coach to do, but defense is what got them where they are in the position where they are today. And the other thing is, I love the fact that Nick Sirianni, the players know what's ahead. They know the number one seed's important. But he's got these guys believing you can't worry about, you know, Carolina. I'm glad Carolina played a good game because it might not get them to fall asleep on this team next Sunday. I'm glad they played really well yesterday. They lost the game. They screwed it up. But nonetheless, but it's just one game. You can't worry about Pittsburgh on the other side. You can't worry about Washington and Washington. You can't worry about that stuff. You can't worry about Detroit, although we do. And I think it's really important that they get the number one seed to play here. Detroit doesn't play outside. Do they know what it's like to play out in 25, 30-degree weather? No.
It's different.
Yeah, and it will be different. And I'll never forget the Detroit – game that played in a playoff game here against Ray Rhodes.
95, right? 95 season?
I know. The Eagles were the underdogs at home against the Dome team. And the Eagle, I think the Eagles scored like 50-some points.
Like 56-20-something, I think, was the final.
Buried them because they played outside. And that was Barry Sanders on that team, too. It was unbelievable. Those Dome teams suck outside. Yeah, that's why Buffalo is building a new stadium. They don't want a dome because they want the home field advantage, which they had last night. San Francisco couldn't wait to get out of town. I mean, that was it's fun to watch, but it's not, I'm sure, not fun to play in. But reality, defense, Hugh, it's defense.
Howard, I got to ask you, because we started going back in the Wayback Machine and comparing people, the running backs and coaches. Howard, let me ask you this. Is this the best defense? I'll frame it this way. This is the best Eagles defense since when? Is it better than Hughes' defenses? With Doc?
What year was that? Was that 1930 or 40?
Shots fired.
Is this the best defense since Buddy Ryan's defenses?
You know what? It probably is.
That means they're better than yours, Hugh.
Jim Johnson had some really, really good defenses. Well, it's the best defense in 10 to 15 years.
Oh, easily.
Yeah. I mean, it's not even close. So it's hard to compare. You got to look at the numbers. But Jim Johnson was a great, great coach. So, and those defenses played well. How many years did you play under Jim Johnson, Hugh?
Was it five? Was it five?
Yeah. I mean,
something like that.
So there were some, I mean, he was a great coach and there were some great defenses. But it's, and, you know, for you not to understand how important that is, it's just, I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed to even say that I know you.
Me too.
it's just, I'm embarrassed for you guys. It's just,
you don't have to be embarrassed, Howard.
You know what? People have to forget about driving the bus. People have to let you back on the bus.
This is our trip, okay?
And let's, you know what?
The Eagles bus was in a ditch in September. It's not just ours. It was there.
You have to beg to get back on.
Oh, stop.
Okay. And you know the other thing I liked? Mm. You know, everybody wants Saquon Barkley to win the MVP.
And yes.
That's wonderful. But he said yesterday, when he spoke after the game yesterday, you know, I'm not worried about awards. I mean, I'm paraphrasing what he said. I'm worried about winning. That's what you got to worry about.
I know, but I have 150-1 bet on Saquon to win the MVP.
I don't care about your stinking bet and your parlays and all this other nonsense.
A lot of people got some parlays out there.
Yeah, Howard, we need that MVP. I need it.
Yeah, I know. So you'll win $35. I mean, who cares?
Mm-hmm. No, some people that got some nice little cheese on
that. That's right. 150-1, Howard? Those odds are big.
Okay, that's great. So they bet $2, so they win $300. Is that going to change your life?
It's good math, Howard. It's good math.
Well, I'm good at math. So, and I know I am good at math. But I'm just, you know, I'm happy and proud of the guy. He's worried about winning. That's who he is. And players that worry about awards aren't winners. There's a guy on another team in town that worried about awards and not winning. And we don't want that with the Eagles. Nobody wants that.
No, I agree with that.
Not winners.
Well, we all agree there, obviously. Yeah. The number one goal is to go win a Super Bowl. Howard, before we wrap this conversation up, because you were so passionate of your defense and your facts on Nick Sirianni, let me ask you this. I want to know if you think we should start a conversation here that I haven't heard anyone have. Do you believe Nick Sirianni deserves Coach of the Year consideration, Howard?
Yes. I'm just trying to think of the other coaches. I mean, Dan Campbell's going to get great consideration.
Sure. Sometimes when there's a team that's not supposed to be good and they are, the coach gets a lot of credit, like
Buffalo. Why shouldn't Sean McDermott get
Dan Quinn, if they make the playoffs.
You know, he better put his hat on the right way as a head coach.
Been doing that
it's
forever.
Embarrassing. He's a child. He's a child with his hat on backwards. And does it at news conferences, too. Give me a break. Grow up.
Coach is yelling at the opponent. I mean, in the crowd and all that stuff.
I don't give a shit.
I'm just saying. Like, we actually, all,
had keep it in perspective.
We all have our warts, Howard.
Yeah, that's all right. You're allowed to get emotional. That's part of it. I mean,
Mike Tomlin might win the Coach of the Year. Now that I think about it,
that would be insulting. You know, everybody goes to Mike Tomlin.
They're 9-3 with Russell Wilson, who no one wanted.
I know. And who's in their division?
Baltimore.
Okay, Baltimore's the only team, right?
Yeah, the other teams are bad. Yeah,
they suck. All right, and I haven't looked at some of the other schedule. Eagles are going to win that game, but I shouldn't look ahead to that game.
No, you got to stay focused, Howard. Just like Sirianni says, stay focused
on the
Panthers.
Keep the main thing the main thing.
Eye on the prize, Howard.
You are not on the bus,
Howard,
yet.
We will see you in New Orleans, all right? How's that sound?
Well, you know, I'll be there. I just hope you guys make it. You know, people got to vote you on or off. You know, this town
people are asking us for tickets to the bus.
You know what? You can give them tickets, but you shouldn't be on the bus. So your two seats are open. And, well, actually, your three seats. You take up two.
It's my trip. I'm going. It's my trip.
Howard, you're not invited on the bus.
Well, I don't have to go on the bus. I don't need to go. Because you guys don't belong on the bus. And if you're on the bus, I'd be ashamed. You know, people have to vote you back on the bus.
Nonsense.
Bandwagon jumpers are a characteristic
Nonsense.
Of Philadelphia.
That's right.
And you are bandwagon
jumpers. Really, Kyle?
As a fellow Sirianni guy, Howard's got room on my bus.
This guy was down on Sirianni, too. He forgets because he got back on. All right, Howard, we'll talk to you soon. Have a good week.
Yeah. Hey, Hugh.
Yes.
Hugh, have another piece of bacon, will you?
I have bacon. I need to talk to the bacon plug.
Hatfield, tell him to get out of here. All right, Howard, we'll talk to you soon.
I need a box of bacon.
There he goes. Howard Eskin coming in here.
Commandeered the trip.
You know what that was, right? That
was that? He trying to get on the bus?
No, Kyle, he set him up to come after us.
He poked the bear a little bit.
You guys deserve it.
Deserve it?
What do you mean?
What do you mean? What?
Well, you guys had two pretty brutal takes about this team before the season.
My take was not brutal.
I think it's appropriate that you guys hear about it.
No, my take was not brutal.
I don't think so. I think that's ridiculous. Hughes is ridiculous. Mine was on point.
My
it just
take
changed.
Was not brutal.
New information, new take.
Was ridiculous.
No,
yours was worse.
Let's just do this one more time and then get back to the phones. Most people in the NFL agreed with me. Running backs didn't make a difference.
Fellas, they were both.
No, I disagree.
Awful.
I disagree. In the moment, mine made plenty of sense. Hughes was ridiculous
mine made
from the
sense
start.
For like a year. Didn't nobody have it? You know what's funny? Didn't nobody have all this clapback when they weren't playing well? But now all of a sudden, everybody want to slide in my DMs and they want to talk bad about me on my timeline. It's cool. I got big old shoulders. You ain't phasing me.
Well, I don't know.
But everybody, and they sending me pictures of green people with green beards and whatnot.
Yeah, no, it is.
It ain't wearing on me.
I can tell.
It's not.
Yeah.
I got big old shoulders.
You're breaking here, man.
I got big shoulders. And I got five more weeks. Five.
Until?
Until something going to happen.
Yeah, that beard's green.
Until we bury your tape
for
good.
Something happened in 5 weeks.
I'm glad you can hear it too, Kyle. Hughes breaking here. I mean, this defense thing.
I see the cracks.
I'm unwavering.
Well, now we've just completely moved past your Eagles defense. It's like we just have decided this Eagles defense.
Yeah, I see.
Like, you guys never existed.
It don't even matter.
You guys never existed. The real 53, Zach Bond. Bashir.
Zach is balling, though.
He is playing great. Bashir in West Philly talking to Zach Bond. What's up, Bashir?
What is that? That's not an eagle. Can we y'all making me mad. Listen. if we gonna make eagle sounds, let's get the right sounds. That sound like a raven.
Listen, theme of the day is walk into your trap, take over your trap, man.
Yeah.
I don't like the way Howard dissed my little Saquon parlay either. I don't like the way he dissed my MVP parlay. Got a couple dollars on that.
Bashir, he doesn't realize that 150-1, if you picked up those odds, it's a big payday. We need that MVP.
We need that.
I tell
that.
You what, but if you pick them up at that and put a nice little chunk of cheese, I would have cashed out.
So last night they were offering me 31 times the bet to get out.
Did you cash out?
No, we're riding this
Christmas
thing.
Christmas right around the corner, dog.
You're going to mess around.
Man, all right, then.
You got to ride the wave.
Let's be realistic here. This is a quarterback-driven league. Mm-hmm. He's gonna be the runner-up, dog.
No.
Y'all need to cash out and get that bread.
2,000 yards.
Y'all need to cash out and get that bread. That's all I'm saying.
And just saying, I just hope, like I said, at the end of the season, I just hope we sign Zach Bond. Because, like, you know, the saying is, yesterday's price is not today's price. His money, he's going to keep going up.
Yeah, the price of the brick then went up.
Yeah, Bashir, you're right. I mean, if they had done this 3 or 4 weeks ago, like, you know, middle of the season, maybe they could have got him for a mid-tier contract. If I'm him, I'm waiting now.
Also, I got my CDL. Class A. Can I drive the bus?
We have so many drivers, Hugh.
Yeah, we do.
All right, so Bashir, we'll get you in the mix.
We're going to need all of them.
Yeah, well, you're right, Bashir. You're definitely one of our potential drivers. Yeah, so Bashir has a CDL. I'm glad we have, like, we've had, like, what, 10 drivers stand up and say they'll
drive?
Yeah, there's
a couple people that said they would come in and
drive. That makes me feel better about this, right? Like, if one driver...
why does it make you feel better?
Well, because...
I'm curious.
Well, think about it. If we have one or two drivers, someone not feeling well, or they decide to take a break...
This is going
to
be a train wreck.
Want to play with me?
What do you mean?
This is going to be a train wreck.
It's going to be awesome.
Awesome train wreck.
Awesome.
A bus wreck.
Let's not put that in the atmosphere.
Is this gonna be? It's gonna be.
That's what the waivers are for.
We gonna have some colorful individuals on this bus.
Yeah,
for 18 of them things.
Led by someone with a green beard.
Led by a green bearded introvert.
Yeah,
good times.
Yeah, hop on, everybody. All right, let's talk to Josh in a moment. Hey, Josh.
Oh, boys. Good afternoon.
What's going
Josh,
on,
Josh? What's up?
Hey, now, listen, guys, first I got to leave with, I was working yesterday, got jumped on some OT and was able to listen to you guys during the pregame. Nice job.
Oh, thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for listening.
We had fun getting everybody ready for a big game.
Yep. I mean, listen, when I'm out there on a Sunday and I get to hear my midday guys doing their thing, man, it's like, got me through my afternoon, right? So nice job on that. Now, hey, Hugh.
Yes.
Let me ask you a question. Former defensive lineman, right?
Mm-hmm.
Me sitting in my living room, it seemed like it was almost every defensive, every time we were on the field playing defense, the middle of that defense looked like an absolute car wreck. We were just destroying their offensive line.
Yeah.
Up the middle. It looked like... it's just a pile up, but then there's always that car that avoids the pile up, and that was Zach Bond. He was jumping over our defensive ends to make plays. I mean, to have somebody behind the line that is capable with that side to side, that's something special, man. Like, I don't think I've ever seen an Eagle linebacker play like that.
Yeah, it's a couple times where he, I guess the guard was coming up to the second level to block him, and he overplayed him, and he slipped the block and he made the tackle. That sack that he got that he shared with Jalix Hunt.
Mm.
I mean, when he came on that delayed blitz, he out there doing his thing, man. He's definitely
doing
out there doing his
thing. And what's cool about it all too is that we're seeing Nolan Smith free up a little bit. Right?
I think he's playing well, Josh. He's setting the edge against the run, and he had a couple times where he came in pursuit and he just chopped Henry's legs. He went real low and just chopped his legs out.
So how about this, Joe? You said it a little bit ago, and you did the word, obviously, because we're all still have PTSD from last year with tackling, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the play that Cooper made on Derrick Henry, you're taught that. Head to the outside drive, and if you're lucky enough, get him off his feet, right?
Textbook.
When he was just about to turn and make his move upfield, there were four Eagle defenders right there, broken down. You remember those drills, Hugh? Right down, right? They were broken down, ready to eat him like a pork chop. It was awesome.
With applesauce.
And I'll tell you what. With applesauce, Hugh. Now, overall, I mean, there isn't anything that we shouldn't be happy or unhappy about. Excuse me, sorry about that. This is just everything that it's almost like we are kind of just reliving all of the takes that we had early in the season, and they're all just being squashed. And that leads me right to yours, Hugh.
What's that?
Luxurious watching this defense. We are luxurious.
That's a good. I like
you
the way you.
Kidding me?
I like the way you tied that all in. That was awesome.
Brought it right back.
That, my gentleman. So listen, one last thing. Dude, I read this morning, Joe. Juan Gilio is lingering. It's still out there.
Well, he is still out there. Yeah, I mean, listen, I would be thrilled to be one.
Somebody trying to get their money right.
Yeah, and that's going to be a lot of money.
I got the clearance, like I said to you guys before. I went ahead after the game yesterday and reiterated to upper management at home that you better bet. And I put the song on, too. Eastbound and down, load them up, man, talking.
We gonna do the things that can't be done. I'm screaming in front of people's houses. That's how fun, how much fun I'm having, boys. So let's go, New Orleans or bus. Greenbeard Douglas. I'm gonna tell you what. You put my name on the list and drive the bus too. I'm in. Let's do it. E-S-G-L-E-S, Eagles, boys.
Love it, Josh. Good phone call. How about Josh putting the request in upper management? He might be gone for a week.
I got it. Yeah, I like how he framed it. Upper management. He's talking about the Wyatt.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it's safe to say that probably. You know, these guys have put – a lot of the guys that have called in and said they're going, yeah. Put the cart in front of the horse. And now you got to get permission first. Don't mess around and get in trouble.
But they're just following our lead. We put the cart before the horse.
Ask for forgiveness, not permission.
Yeah. See, we created this
when the team was like 4-2.
See, but y'all forget that when this originally happened, it was two people. And yeah. I didn't need to ask permission. And I was going to get permission. Then he bailed on me. Now – you got a bunch of dudes that's going to have to ask permission to go, and they probably ain't going to be able to go.
Hugh, do you realize how many people want to go on this bus? 50 are going to find permission, or they're going to lie.
Or they're going to lie, yeah.
Ask for forgiveness.
I'm voting for the lie.
You're asking WIP to not put the cart in front of the horse? do you even work here?
I'm going to go with the lie. This is going to be some guys that's going to lie about what's going to happen. It's going to be a lot.
Speaking of cart before the horse, we had Howard on calling the head coach legendary. They've won two playoff
legendary
games.
Legendary numbers,
it's wonderful.
Curly Lambeau
for hyperbole. It's going down.
I mean,
greatest
Josh just said
ever.
Bond is the greatest linebacker he's ever seen
in
this uniform.
He did. I mean, he's playing.
By the
way,
I don't think any of your defenses had three All Pros. Just putting it out there.
Is that right?
Yeah, you had two at a time.
Yep,
two at a time.
Two at a time.
I mean, that's respectful.
Now you had three or four guys who got All Pro honors at some point, but in any given year, it was just two.
So we got three on this team.
Well, that was the assertion. Potential.
Gotcha.
Carter, Bond, Quinn
Young. Oh, no, they're playing well. They're playing well.
Three All Pros and the same Eagles
defense.
That
would be awesome.
Seen that in close to 40 years around here. Hugh.
That would be awesome.
Mm-hmm. Just saying. We didn't see that with your teams. I'm just saying.
Stay up.
We just didn't see that. 215-592-9494. All right, your phone call is kind of, to me, yesterday was the most impressive win of the Nick Sirianni era. To go into a team playing that good on offense, to shut them down, to run the ball, to play defense, have smart coaching, it all added up. Best win of the Sirianni era. Plus, when we come back, more audio from after the game. Hurts talking about Sirianni and what Sirianni said about Hurts. At one point, interjecting a criticism that no one actually gave him yesterday, at least at the press conference, and saying, well, that's not what he is. You'll hear that next. It is a midday show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Tackle the NFL action on FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers can get $150 in bonus bets if you win. The FanDuel Sportsbook app gives you everything you need to place live bets on the NFL all in one place. So when you get a hunch in the middle of a game, you can check out the latest stats, view live play-by-play, and so much more on the same page where you place your bets. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to join today. You'll get started $150 in bonus bets if you win your first $5 bet. That's FanDuel.com/GIGLIO. Never waste a hunch. You make every moment more. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP.
Mini men, step upon me.
Can you picture them running out of the tunnel in the Superdome in New Orleans, led by Sirianni, the song?
Yes.
I can. Yeah, I'm there. I can picture it. Welcome back. 215-592-9494. The Eagles undefeated since Nick Sirianni shaved his head and this song played at practice. It's almost so ridiculous that, like, if you had told me, imagine if someone called in, and I know we've had some people claim they said 10 wins in a row. I don't know if I believe all that, but imagine if someone called in the day after or that week around the Browns thing, right? They won the game, and then, you know, Sirianni shaved his head, he yelled at the crowd, all that. They only beat the Browns by 4. And someone said, you know, guys, this is obviously they're not going to lose again for 2 more months, and they're going to fight for the number one seed, and they're going to beat all these teams in a row and have the best defense in the NFL. Like, what would we have said to them?
You're crazy.
There's no chance that's going to happen. Yet here we are with the Eagles at 10-2 and doing all of those things. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's hear yesterday about the head coach from the quarterback. Jalen Hurts talking about Nick Sirianni and how he's grown over the course of this season.
What ways do you think Nick has evolved and grown through this season?
Yeah, I just think, you know, his approach, his patience in certain moments, and I think his ability to dive in and kind of get the real detail of things, so he can better prepare us to do what he do what we do. I know he's very intentional with the time he spends and the situations, and he's had some moments where, you know, he wish he could have done something else, and then he has some moments where we got to help him out as well, and then we got moments where we need to learn from them all, and so it's all collaborative.
He was just in here and he was saying that you belong in the MVP discussion, and it's that people try to discredit you because of stats. What's it mean for you that he kind of, you know, defends you like that?
I mean, you know, it's I appreciate his intentions with it, and you know, I have a lot of love for coaching that. My focus is winning. You know, my focus is winning and doing what I need to do to help this team win.
So that was interesting at the end there, because Sirianni did yesterday, and we're going to hear from Sirianni in a second, talk about Jalen. But I thought it was interesting hearing Jalen talk about the evolution of Sirianni.
Growth.
I think he's gotten better in the games. I mean, since that Jacksonville was bad. The Falcon one was very questionable. The Saints one was ridiculous, but they pulled it out. You know, I think since then, if you go from the Jacksonville game on between Dallas and the Rams and obviously this game here, against the Ravens, he's been better within the games over the last month.
Yeah, and it seems like they're on the same page, man. I think back to last week, you know, everybody's going to have their say on what the quarterback is doing. But this feels real symbiotic. Now, I know that there's still times during the course of the beginning of the game where it just looks disjointed. Mm. But for the most part, this offense looks like it has a more direct plan. And they implement the plan, and I think it evolves around the running game. You know, it was funny because yesterday we were talking to Merrill during the pregame, mm-hmm. and he talked about how the Baltimore Ravens were one of the worst pass defenses in the NFL, and how the Eagles, you know, should run the ball. I mean, excuse me, throw the ball. And the Eagles went out there, and they imposed their will. Like, I can't stress to people enough how at this time of the season. You got Carolina coming into town. They're watching that film, and they're like, that defense, like, man.
It's going to be a long day.
No, not only that, then you're like, it's going to be cold. Like, you're mentally, you're fighting a mental battle before you even get to Philadelphia. You're fighting, and when you get off that plane and that cold slap you across your lips, it hits different when you, because you come, you got to think, people, yeah, everybody say, hey, you come from Carolina, get ready because it's going to be cold, yada, yada, yada. Okay, you go get a coat, you know, and then you get on the plane. And when you get off that plane and it's brick, and you're thinking like, damn, we're going to be out. Like, all these mental things playing in your head. And then on top of that, you got this big-ass offensive line leaning on you with this running back here who's on a mission to at least get 100 yards on you today to keep his streak going. That's an uphill battle. That is an uphill battle for anybody.
Yeah, and it's their identity right now.
And you just started to turn the corner and look like a football team. That's a recipe for ass whooping.
Well,
but
that's why they're 12.5-point favorites.
You gotta stay focused though.
eye on the prize, Hugh Douglas.
Yeah, you got to stay focused.
All right,
man.
So we hear from Hurts talking about Sirianni. How about Sirianni on Hurts? And Hugh, you're right. They ran it way more again yesterday, 33 rushes to 19 pass. But they did start trying to throw the ball, a little choppy early. Then they moved back to the run game. It worked. Here's Sirianni talking about the play of his quarterback, Jalen Hurts.
Can't say enough good things about, you know, how Jalen managed that 4 minute. And you know, you'll say, well, game manager. That's bull. That's all. Like, Jalen played an awesome game. And his stats are going to say, right, we didn't throw it a lot. We were 11 and 19. He had 118 yards. But that guy made runs when he needed to make runs. He made good checks. He managed the game in a 4 minute to take the clock down to use as much time as he can. Man.
I mean, Sirianni caught himself there, but we could be real about it. Jalen Hurts is a game manager right now. I mean, that's what he is.
I really think...
He said it. He managed the game well, and then he caught himself. It was like, oh, he's not a game manager.
Well,
this is a game manager.
You know, it's really... It's unfortunate, but for Jalen, it's really semantics, because in our mind, we look at... We're caught up with the quarterbacks from the past. We're caught up in Herbert and what he's been able to do, but even he would be considered... He's got a strong arm, but they're a run-centric team. In San Diego, well, L.A. Chargers. They're a run-centric team.
And a defense team, yeah.
Yeah.
Like the Eagles.
Yeah. That is, I think what everybody needs to do is move off of what the teams were last year. Move off, or even the year before that. This is this year's league. This year's league, most teams outside of the Buffalo Bills, because if I'm not mistaken, they try to throw the ball a little bit more.
Yeah, but they're running a lot now. Cook, they've transformed, yeah.
But it's more of a run-centric team now. And I think, remember when the season started, everybody was mad about the two high safeties. And who was it? Mel Kiper was talking about take it out of game because it's eliminating explosive plays. You remember that?
It was a wild take.
At how the league has evolved since then.
They will just run it.
They run the ball because now when they force teams to put people in the box, you know, they throw the ball a little bit, but really, it's about running the ball now because everybody's afraid of getting that big play thrown.
I mean, we could be in our feelings if we want, or we just say it. Like, Jalen Hurts is a game manager right now. This is the reality.
Jalen Hurts game managed this thing all the way to Louisiana, then so be it.
I agree. And I say this, but history has shown there's been a lot of game managers that have won the Super Bowl. People forget now because he evolved. Tom Brady was a game manager in the beginning. Go look at his game logs for 120 yards. Like, you can win a Super Bowl doing this. Obviously, you need all the other parts, right? It's got to all work in concert. Otherwise, it doesn't work, right? If the defense was giving up 30 points, Jalen couldn't manage the game. He'd have to go out and score 34 using his arm. But as long as they play defense like this and run the ball, I mean, why would they throw it more? I mean, I'm there. Sirianni could try to downplay it because he doesn't want everyone to get all
well,
upset
it's like
about
he gets
it,
caught
like,
up. He got caught up in the semantics of the word.
He said it.
Yeah, because it has a negative connotation.
It does, but does it have to? I mean, I don't
know. No, it doesn't. But when you hear it, because you're going to have people, oh, he's a game manager. Oh, that's a bad thing. I can say that about Jared Goff.
But they've asked probably a little bit more of him.
No, but it's all predicated on the game and what the game calls for. Now, I will say yesterday that watching Jalen play, taking everything about what we feel about game manager and all the other stuff about it, the thing that he did to me that I thought was impressive, he didn't hold the ball long. Got the ball out of his hands. You know, he got the ball to the playmakers. And that, to me, was something that he wasn't doing a great job of early in the season.
So Elliot has brought this point up a lot when we have him on or the pregame show, that it's not so much of, like, his stats. He's going to have to make three or four big throws a game, like, in the biggest games. And I thought yesterday, even though you look at Jalen's stats, and it's like, pretty pedestrian.
That slant to AJ was pretty big.
Good throw. I like that one. I also thought that the 3rd and 7 where Goddard had the crosser, and on the last drive they scored.
That was a big play.
Or the last drive they scored a touchdown. That led to the Saquon running touchdown. That was huge, because that was 3rd and 7. If Jalen's incomplete there, they're punting. And what's the score at that point? It was the Ravens had 12, and the Eagles had 17.
Yeah.
It was 17-12. Right, so the Ravens could have won the game right there or taken the lead. That was a big throw. It really might be that. If the defense keeps playing well, Jalen's going to have to make two or three money plays a game. Last week, I thought it was his legs, and yesterday, I thought it was the throw to Goddard.
The biggest thing he can do and is doing is taking care of the football.
Yep.
Honestly.
Two turnovers in this winning streak.
Right, and that's game manager-y as of a thing to like ask for your quarterback. But still, I mean, not every game manager takes care of the football the way that we've known Jalen to do. He got away from it last season, the beginning of this year. But now it looks like he's back to what we thought was the MO of Jalen Hurts. Just make the play that's there and take care of the football.
I mean, he's probably got it. This is not surprising or new for him. He was this at Alabama in the beginning of his career. He was surrounded by NFL players. He wasn't asked to throw the ball 40 times. And he won a lot of football games that way. Mad Mike is up on WIP. What's up, Mike?
Oh, my God. Can we try and spin this even harder to protect Jalen's fragile ego?
I called him a game manager. What do you want me to say?
He threw the ball. He completed 11 passes yesterday. They've hiding him in this offense so hard at this point. Like, he's barely a part of the team. Like, might as well be the water boy while you're at it, because he's not doing much else. Make him earn that $250.
Hugh, what do you think about that? Water boy on top of the quarterback?
I think it's an interesting take. I think all of Mad Mike's takes are very, very interesting.
Do you think they're hiding him? Do we really think they're hiding him?
I don't think they're hiding.
They're hiding him. His numbers have gone down every game. He had 57% completion percentage yesterday because he's not good at this position. He's a running back who can throw the ball a little bit. That's all he is.
Kenny,
we got snookered, and we gave $250 million to a guy who doesn't deserve it because we like his attitude, and we try to make him into this leader and fabricate him into this person that he's not. He's a fraud, and we got burnt on it. And this guy's going to fail you in the court in the playoffs.
Does it matter if they win the Super Bowl, though?
They're not going to win the Super Bowl. They're not going to win the Super Bowl. And I'm tired of hearing, oh, well, he beat these players. No, he didn't. He's a coattail rider, and the team beat those players. And Jalen's just along for the ride. Congratulations.
Well, if they don't win the Super Bowl, it'll probably the funniest part of this, and Mike, we appreciate the phone call, is if they don't win it, it's going to come back to either the coach or the quarterback. Like, they're the biggest stories that every week everyone tries to make not the story because the other things are going well. But at some point, we either got to give them credit for what their role is in this, or if they don't win, it's going to come back to them. I mean, that's the way this always goes. Can they win the Super Bowl completing 11 passes in a game? Probably not. But they won yesterday's game completing 11 passes in a game.
It all depends on how. I think it's possible.
In the Super Bowl?
How many did Brad Johnson win the year that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers won?
He had more than 11 completions.
What about Manning in the it wasn't the 2015 year. It was the defense, yeah.
We're going for the extreme example.
Yeah, I mentioned
Russell Wilson.
We have a defense on those levels.
They go back to look at Russell Wilson's numbers 2013. That's what this reminds me of. There had to be games where the Seahawks only threw the ball 20 times. Probably a lot of them. They ran it with Marshawn Lynch. They had a great defense. I don't know if the Eagles' defense was only average, then this wouldn't work. But they have a tremendous defense. I don't think it's crazy to say they could win the Super Bowl doing this. Now, can they win 5 Super Bowls doing this? No, that probably has to evolve as years go on. But like this year, that we keep saying they can't do it, and they keep winning every game.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing about it. I mean, they are, man. And I think that the way that they're playing, anything is possible. Because we've seen they look unstoppable at this point.
Do you remember the Super Bowl that Shanahan went to with Garoppolo as the quarterback? Do you remember how many passes that he either threw or completed in the title game? Right, I think they blew the Packers out to get to the Super Bowl, and they lost to the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
I think he completed like 8 passes in the game. I think he was like 8.
And they had a chance to win that game.
Well, no, they won it. I'm saying the title game they won to get to the Super Bowl.
Oh, I thought you meant the Super Bowl.
Well,
I'm sorry.
But he kind of was the reason they didn't beat the Chiefs, because he missed the throw down the field.
This also might just be this might have to be one of those years where we recalibrate what we think a really good team looks like.
It's
run the ball, play defense, limit the amount of times you're putting the ball in the air. Like, that two-eye safety thing was real.
I agree.
Offense is adjusted.
And I tell you what, I'm looking at the box score from that game. We're talking about Tampa Bay and Oakland. They completed 18 passes.
Brad Johnson completed 18.
He was 18 for 34.
Yeah, okay.
Look, Howie Roseman was ahead of this whole running backs are back trend. Me and Howie Roseman, I should say.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've been trying to get a running back here for a couple of years now, and he's only about to win MVP.
Give him his props. He was trying to get Bijan.
But he said he and Howie, like, as if they're in concert.
Well, we're
working in conjunction.
Well, what's our listener that sounds like Howie? Ethan Doylestown.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, he does call in. It's Self in North Philly. What's up, Self? Self?
Dude.
What up, man?
Oh. Self?
Hello?
Hello?
Dude.
What's up?
I mean, come on.
What's going on, man?
You tell us.
Hey, first of all,
I got to walk back. I got to walk back a couple of things. I got to hear me out. Kyle, okay. Forget you. I'm never going to give Howard Roseman no credit for nothing.
Why? Ever.
So you can forget that.
You're dope.
Because I don't like
why?
Him.
He
said Howard personally, but I don't like him.
All right, but he's good at what he does. I mean, obviously.
Yeah. I know why he's good at what he does. But anyway, Fangio first.
Okay.
I suggested earlier in the season that how are we going to go get the dude who's the mastermind of this soft defense. However, I'm only going to go back halfway because he's not playing his defense that he masterminded. He went back and started playing the Philly defense that Philly is known for. You know what I'm saying? And I believe the young boys went up to him and said, listen, coach, let us play up on these dudes. Let us, we can do this. You know what I mean? Opposed to him just imposing his will, he kind of slid back on his high horse a little bit and said, all right, I'm going to put the ball in your hand. You hear the players say it all the time. It's more of a player team now. You know what I mean? Where their input matters. I'm going to walk back telling more. I said, how you going to go get Dallas, a dude from Dallas who can't get out of the playoffs, right? But again, I'm only going to walk that back halfway because he still had the components, the key components to do it, and you added Saquon Barkley, you know what I'm saying, which made your job a lot more easier. However, both of their abilities to judge and assess what's going on and be able to correct it, I have to give them props for. You know what I'm saying? Their adjustments are, I got to give them props for their adjustments. That being said, I got to walk back Saquon Barkley. I was mad we got rid of Swift because I kind of have a little history with Swift. Again, his sister was in my daughter's class and I coached against his dad and whatever. So I was kind of, a little upset about that. However, I put him up there in the ranks of some of my favorites, Westbrook, Shady, Saquon, Wilbert Montgomery. You know what I mean? So in that light, I'm going to go ahead and say I had to walk back and humble myself, which is what y'all should start doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I had to humble myself and say, okay, this team is a better team because they're actually a team. You know what I'm saying?
They are. No, Sab, this is big of you. This is a big phone call. I mean, how about that? Giving credit to Fangio and Moore and walking back the Swift thing. I sense growth here.
Still very delusional about how he wrote them, though.
We can only knock. Yeah, I know, Sal. I appreciate this. We can, and Sal, good phone call. Listen, we can't ask for everything in one phone call. I mean, he's not going to give Howie credit. But I know. I mean, here's what I'll say to everyone out there who's just any question about Howie. He's going to go to the Hall of Fame one day. Howie Roseman's going to end up in Canton. There's only like 10 executives there. Howie's going to be there one day. And Hugh, by the end of the season, three-time that dude.
It's exciting. I mean, he's made some pretty good moves, man. And you know what? It's a hell of a way to bounce back because wasn't that long ago. I listened. I remember everything that everybody was talking about, how bad he was and how he might not be here because of that whole, Bryce Huff thing.
Well, I don't think
bounce
anyone
back,
wanted to
bounce
fire,
back game.
Fire Howie over one signing.
No, I think a lot of people don't like Howie.
I don't understand why you wouldn't like Howie. I mean, I know Self does it. We've established that on the show before. Howie Roseman is, again, I'll just say it again, it's very simply. He's going to the Hall of Fame one day as an executive. He's been a great Eagles executive. Is he perfect? No. Everyone has a Bryce Huff here and there. That's a disaster. I get it. But his moves? Think about the last year of moves for Howie. Zach Bond. Obviously, what he did in the draft with Quinyon Mitchell and trading up for Cooper DeJean. I mean, these moves, Saquon Barkley, have been remarkable. Let's go to, I want to grab Alec in Lehigh, who wants to chime in on what someone said recently on the show. Alec, what's up, buddy?
Hey, guys, how you doing today?
Good, Alec. What's up?
What's up?
Listen, so Matt and Mike's take, I get it's like a boil your blood kind of take, but Jalen Hurts, ever since he took over the starter role, has won against almost every single AFC team that he has faced. He can be called a game manager. He can be called, a clock manager or whatever he wants. But the dude wins games.
There's no question. Yeah,
absolutely.
And he goes back to college, too. I mean, he goes back to when he was at Alabama, Oklahoma. I mean, for the past, 8 years, I guess, that he's been a starting player on Saturdays or Sundays, he wins like 75% of his games.
Oh, absolutely. And then I also want to make a comment on just the way that they're playing this year. Listen, this team, man, I've been watching the Eagles since
like I was, since I can remember, since I was in diapers, I remember watching Hugh and all this other stuff. This team is more special than 04, 17, and 22. Just the way that they're balling together. Zach Bond is an absolute dog behind the line of scrimmage. I've never loved a defensive player as much as I love Zach Bond. And he's on a one-year contract for $1 million. Howie, if you're listening, man, you got to extend this dude.
It's a must, Alec. I can't do the roulette at linebacker again. You have someone here.
No, absolutely.
Let's go. Sign him up. Hand him the money. And, Alec, at this point, I mean, I think he's taken the mantle from Hugh as the ultimate 53 in Midnight Green.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I would agree with that. The dude just makes plays all over the place. Let's get another fucking championship. Sorry
for
my language.
Yeah, that potty mouth. Potty mouth.
Alec, appreciate the phone call.
That's the excitement that Zach Bond brings out of people. I never brought that kind of excitement out of anybody.
I think you did. I mean, you were an all-pro. Let's not just, you know, we could poke fun at your beard and your takes, but you were a good player.
Zach is baller, though. It is. It was good to see. It's exciting to see him.
I think we need a poll question.
Doing his thing.
Has Zach Bond surpassed you as the ultimate 53 in an Eagles uniform? You know, there
yeah,
is
put
some...
that up so I can vote on it. You know where
there
I'm
is something
for.
About, like, the in the now, people just, like, get caught up with in the moment. You might lose this poll. To
oh
Zach
no!
Bond.
I would not be surprised if I didn't. I would not definitely not be. I mean, it sounds about right because again, it's in the moment, which I totally respect.
But
that.
To be fair, can we wait till Bond has a big playoff moment before he overtakes you as the ultimate 53?
I mean, but he is balling.
He's having a great season.
He made some plays, especially when you talk about the caliber of running back that he's playing. You know what makes him so special, Joe, is the fact that Cat was running down on special teams last year.
I know.
And got an opportunity and has taken full advantage of it. And now, when you look at it, it's probably going to put him and his family in a great – well, he's already did that – put his family in a great financial position.
Well, he's on the path to a big contract.
Yeah.
Now, we hope it's with the Eagles, but – you know, the better he plays, he might price himself out of here.
Well, this is where I would say for Zach, for him to think about if he's listening, think about the coordinator that you're working with. Like, I'm not saying that he can't play, but there's a reason why he was a special teams player. I'm saying that with all due respect. Mm-hmm. It's because somebody didn't see his skill set, or somebody didn't know how to coach him up. You take the chance by going somewhere else of being in a situation where you're not going to get the same level of coaching and nobody's going to understand your skill set because, you know, coaches do that a lot.
Yeah.
Round peg, square hole, man. They do that a lot. So I would probably, you know, I know he's looking at a big payday and that's the thing, but you're in a position now and you're still a young guy. You could really turn this into something great.
And the history of Fangio with linebackers, when we had Patrick Willis on when they hired him, it's amazing, right? All these linebackers that have played under Fangio are turned into great players, but like you're saying, you stick with them, you got a better chance. 215-592-9494, your chance to react to the win with us. I think it was the best win of the Sirianni era, and right now, the Eagles look like the best team in the NFL. We'll get more stuff from around the NFL later on, and on the other side, we'll break down the Eagles' path to the one seed. What is it? Do they have to win out? And which games do we need Detroit to lose? 215-592-949 for Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Mini man, step upon me.
Can you picture them running out of the tunnel in the Superdome in New Orleans, led by Sirianni, the song?
Yes.
I can. Yeah, I'm there. I can picture it. Welcome back. 215-592-9494. The Eagles undefeated since Nick Sirianni shaved his head and this song played at practice. It's almost so ridiculous that, like, if you had told me, imagine if someone called in, and I know we've had some people claim they said 10 wins in a row. I don't know if I believe all that, but imagine if someone called in the day after or that week around the Browns thing, right? They won the game, and then, you know, Sirianni shaved his head. He yelled at the crowd, all that. They only beat the Browns by 4. And someone said, you know, guys, this is obviously they're not going to lose again for 2 more months, and they're going to fight for the number one seed, and they're going to beat all these teams in a row and have the best defense in the NFL. Like, what would we have said to them?
You're crazy.
There's no chance that's going to happen. Yet here we are with the Eagles at 10-2 and doing all of those things. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's hear yesterday about the head coach from the quarterback. Jalen Hurts talking about Nick Sirianni and how he's grown over the course of this season.
What ways do you think Nick has evolved and grown through this season?
Yeah, I just think, you know, his approach, his patience in certain moments, and I think his ability to dive in and kind of get the real detail of things, so he can better prepare us to do what we do. I know he's very intentional with the time he spends and the situations, and he's had some moments where, you know, he wish he could have done something else, and then he has some moments where we got to help him out as well, and then we got moments where we need to learn from them all, and so it's all collaborative.
He was just in here and he was saying that you belong in the MVP discussion, and it's that people try to discredit you because of stats. What's it mean for you that he kind of, you know, defends you like that?
I mean, you know, it's I appreciate his intentions with it, and you know, I have a lot of love for coaching that. My focus is winning. You know, my focus is winning and doing what I need to do to help this team win.
So that was interesting at the end there, because Sirianni did yesterday, and we're going to hear from Sirianni in a second, talk about Jalen. But I thought it was interesting hearing Jalen talk about the evolution of Sirianni.
Growth.
I think he's gotten better in the games. I mean, since that Jacksonville was bad. The Falcon one was very questionable. The Saints one was ridiculous, but they pulled it out. You know, I think since then, if you go from the Jacksonville game on between Dallas and the Rams and obviously this game here, against the Ravens, he's been better within the games over the last month.
Yeah, and it seems like they're on the same page, man. I think back to last week, you know, everybody's going to have their say on what the quarterback is doing. But this feels real symbiotic. Now, I know that there's still times during the course of the beginning of the game where it just looks disjointed.
Mm.
But for the most part, this offense looks like it has a more direct plan. And they implement the plan, and I think it evolves around the running game. You know, it was funny because yesterday we were talking to Merrill during the pregame,
mm-hmm.
and he talked about how the Baltimore Ravens were one of the worst pass defenses in the NFL, and how the Eagles, you know, should run the ball. I mean, excuse me, throw the ball. And the Eagles went out there, and they imposed their will. Like, I can't stress to people enough how at this time of the season. You got Carolina coming into town. They're watching that film, and they're like, that defense, like, man.
It's going to be a long day.
No, not only that, then you're like, it's going to be cold. Like, you're mentally, you're fighting a mental battle before you even get to Philadelphia. You're fighting, and when you get off that plane and that cold slap you across your lips, it hits different when you, because you come, you got to think, people. Yeah, everybody say, hey, you come from Carolina, get ready because it's going to be cold, yada, yada, yada. Okay, you go get a coat, you know, and then you get on the plane. And when you get off that plane and it's brick, and you're thinking like, damn, we're going to be out. Like, all these mental things playing in your head. And then on top of that, you got this big-ass offensive line leaning on you with this running back here who's on a mission to at least get 100 yards on you today to keep his streak going. That's an uphill battle. That is an uphill battle for anybody.
Yeah, and it's their identity right now.
And you just started to turn the corner and look like a football team. That's a recipe for ass whooping.
Well,
but
that's why they're 12.5-point favorites.
You gotta stay focused though.
eye on the prize,
focused.
Hugh Douglas.
Yeah, you got to stay focused.
All right,
man.
So we hear from Hurts talking about Sirianni. How about Sirianni on Hurts? And Hugh, you're right. They ran it way more again yesterday, 33 rushes to 19 passes. But they did start trying to throw the ball, a little choppy early. Then they moved back to the run game. It worked. Here's Sirianni talking about the play of his quarterback, Jalen Hurts.
Can't say enough good things about, you know, how Jalen managed that 4 minute. And you know, you'll say, well, game manager. That's bull. That's all. Like, Jalen played an awesome game. And his stats are going to say, right, we didn't throw it a lot. We were 11-19. He had 118 yards. But that guy made runs when he needed to make runs. He made good checks. He managed the game in a 4 minute to take the clock down, to use as much time as he can. Man.
I mean, Sirianni caught himself there, but we could be real about it. Jalen Hurts is a game manager right now. I mean, that's what he is.
I really think...
He said it. He managed the game well, and then he caught himself and was like, oh, he's not a game manager.
Well, this
is a game manager.
You know, it's unfortunate, but for Jalen, it's really semantics, because in our mind, we look at... We're caught up with the quarterbacks from the past. We're caught up in Herbert and what he's been able to do, but even he would be considered... He's got a strong arm, but they're a run-centric team. In San Diego, well, L.A. Chargers. They're run-centric team.
And a defense team, yeah.
Yeah.
Like the Eagles.
Yeah. That is, I think what everybody needs to do is move off of what the teams were last year. Move off of, or even the year before that. This is this year's league. This year's league, most teams outside of the Buffalo Bills, because if I'm not mistaken, they try to throw the ball a little bit more.
Yeah, but they're running a lot now.
Yeah.
Cook, they've transformed, yeah.
But it's more of a run-centric team now. And I think, remember when the season started, everybody was mad about the two high safeties. And who was it? Mel Kiper was talking about take it out of the game because it's eliminating explosive plays. You remember that?
It was a wild take.
At how the league has evolved since then.
They will just run it.
They run the ball because now when they force teams to put people in the box, you know, they throw the ball a little bit, but really, it's about running the ball now because everybody's afraid of getting that big play thrown.
I mean, we could be in our feelings if we want to. We just say it. Like, Jalen Hurts is a game manager right now. This is the reality.
Jalen Hurts game managed this thing all the way to Louisiana, then so be it.
I agree. And I say this, but history has shown there's been a lot of game managers that have won the Super Bowl. People forget now because he evolved. Tom Brady was a game manager in the beginning. Go look at his game logs for 120 yards. Like, you can win a Super Bowl doing this. Obviously, you need all the other parts, right? It's got to all work in concert. Otherwise, it doesn't work, right? If the defense was giving up 30 points, Jalen couldn't manage the game. He'd have to go out and score 34 using his arm. But as long as they play defense like this and run the ball, I mean, why would they throw it more? I mean, I'm there. Sirianni could try to downplay it because he doesn't want everyone to get all
upset
about it.
Well, it's like he gets caught up. He got caught up in the semantics of the word.
He said it.
Yeah, because it has a negative connotation.
It does, but does it have to? I mean, I don't
know. No, it doesn't. But when you hear it, because you're going to have people, oh, he's a game manager. Oh, that's a bad thing. I can say that about Jared Goff.
But they've asked probably a little bit more of him.
Yeah,
it's
all predicated on the game and what the game calls for. Now, I would say yesterday that watching Jalen play, taking everything about what we feel about game manager and all the other stuff about it, the thing that he did to me that I thought was impressive, he didn't hold the ball long. Got the ball out of his hands. You know, he got the ball to the playmakers. And that, to me, was something that he wasn't doing a great job of early in the season.
So Elliot has brought this point up a lot when we have him on or the pregame show, that it's not so much of, like, his stats. He's going to have to make 3 or 4 big throws a game, like, in the biggest games. And I thought yesterday, even though you look at Jalen's stats, and it's like, pretty pedestrian.
That slant to AJ was pretty big.
Good throw. I like that one. I also thought that the 3rd and 7, we had the crosser, and on the last drive, they scored.
That was a big play.
Or the last drive, they scored a touchdown. That led to the Saquon running touchdown. That was huge, because that was 3rd and 7. If Jalen's incomplete there, they're punting. And what's the score at that point? It was the Ravens had 12, and the Eagles had 17.
Yeah.
It was 17-12. Right, so the Ravens could have won the game right there or taken the lead. That was a big throw. It really might be that. If the defense keeps playing well, Jalen's going to have to make 2 or 3 money plays a game. Last week, I thought it was his legs, and yesterday, I thought it was the throw to Goddard.
The biggest thing he can do and is doing is taking care of the football.
Yep.
Honestly.
Only 2 turnovers in this winning streak.
Right, and that's game manager-y as of a thing to like ask for your quarterback. But still, I mean, not every game manager takes care of the football the way that we've known Jalen to do. He got away from it last season, the beginning of this year. But now it looks like he's back to what we thought was the MO of Jalen Hurts. Just make the play that's there and take care of the football.
I mean, he's probably got it. This is not surprising or new for him. He was this at Alabama in the beginning of his career. He was surrounded by NFL players. He wasn't asked to throw the ball 40 times, and he won a lot of football games that way. Mad Mike is up on WIP. What's up, Mike?
Oh, my God. Can we try and spin this even harder to protect Jalen's fragile ego?
I called him the game manager. What do you want me to say?
He threw the ball. He completed 11 passes yesterday. They've hiding him in this offense so hard at this point. Like, he's barely a part of the team. Like, might as well be the water boy while you're at it, because he's not doing much else. Make him earn that 250.
Hugh, what do you think about that? Water boy on top of quarterback?
I think it's an interesting take. I think all of Mad Mike's takes are very, very interesting.
Do you think they're hiding him? Do we really think they're hiding him?
I don't think they're hiding him.
They're hiding him. His numbers have gone down every game. He had 57% completion percentage yesterday because he's not good at this position. He's a running back who can throw the ball a little bit. That's all he is.
We got
snookered, and we gave $250 million to a guy who doesn't deserve it because we like his attitude, and we try to make him into this leader and fabricate him into this person that he's not. He's a fraud, and we got burnt on it. And this guy's going to fail you in the court in the playoffs.
Does it matter if they win the Super Bowl, though?
They're not going to win the Super Bowl. They're not going to win the Super Bowl. And I'm tired of hearing, oh, well, he beat these players. No, he didn't. He's a coattail rider, and the team beat those players. And Jalen's just along for the ride. Congratulations.
Well, if they don't win the Super Bowl, it'll probably the funniest part of this, and Mike, we appreciate the phone call, is if they don't win it, it's going to come back to either the coach or the quarterback. Like, they're the biggest stories that every week everyone tries to make not the story because the other things are going well. But at some point, we either got to give them credit for what their role is in this, or if they don't win, it's going to come back to them. I mean, that's the way this always goes. Can they win the Super Bowl completing 11 passes in a game? Probably not. But they won yesterday's game completing 11 passes in a game.
It all depends on how. I think it's possible.
In the Super Bowl?
How many did Brad Johnson win the year that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers won?
He had more than 11 completions in
the
game.
What about Manning in the it wasn't the 2015 year. It was the defense, yeah.
We're going for the extreme example.
Yeah, well, I
mentioned Russell Wilson.
We have a defense on those levels.
They go back to look at Russell Wilson's numbers 2013. That's what this reminds me of. There had to be games where the Seahawks only threw the ball 20 times. Probably a lot of them. They ran it with Marshawn Lynch. They had a great defense. I don't know. If the Eagles' defense was only average, then this wouldn't work. But they have a tremendous defense. I don't think it's crazy to say they could win the Super Bowl doing this. Now, can they win 5 Super Bowls doing this? No, that probably has to evolve as years go on. But like this year, that we keep saying they can't do it, and they keep winning every game.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing about it. I mean, they are, man. And I think that the way that they're playing, anything is possible. Because we've seen they look unstoppable at this point.
Do you remember the Super Bowl that Shanahan went to with Garoppolo as the quarterback? Do you remember how many passes that he either threw or completed in the title game? Right, I think they blew the Packers out to get to the Super Bowl, and they lost to the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
I think he completed like 8 passes in the game. I think he was like 8.
And they had a chance to win that game.
Well, no, they won it. I'm saying the title game they won to get to the Super Bowl.
Oh, I thought you meant the Super Bowl.
Well,
I'm sorry.
But he kind of was the reason they didn't beat the Chiefs, because he missed the throw down the field.
This also might just be this might have to be one of those years where we recalibrate what we think a really good team looks like.
Hugh was saying
that. Run the ball, play defense, limit the amount of times you're putting the ball in the air. Like, that two-high safety thing was real.
I agree.
That offense is adjusted.
And I tell you what, I'm looking at the box score from that game. We're talking about Tampa Bay and Oakland. They completed 18 passes.
Brad Johnson completed 18.
He was 18 for 34.
Yeah, okay.
Look, Howie Roseman was ahead of this whole running backs are back trend. Me and Howie Roseman, I should say.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've been trying to get a running back here for a couple of years now, and he's only about to win MVP.
Give him his props. He was. He was trying to get
Well,
Bijan.
But he said he and Howie, like, as if they're in concert.
Well, that's what we're all doing.
Howie and I work in conjunction.
Well, what's our listener that sounds like Howie? Ethan. Doylestown. Maybe. I mean, he does call in. It's Self in North Philly. What's up, Self? Self?
Dude.
What up, man?
Oh. Self?
Hello?
Hello?
Dude.
What's up?
I mean, come on.
Hey, what's going on, man?
You tell us.
Hey, first of all,
I got to walk back. I got to walk back a couple things. Y'all got to hear me out. Kyle, okay. Forget you. I'm never going to give Howard Roseman no credit for nothing.
Why?
Ever. So you can forget that.
You're dope.
Because I don't like
why?
Him.
Why?
I don't know him personally, but I don't like him.
All right, but he's good at what he does. I mean, obviously.
Yeah. I know why he's good at what he does. But anyway, Fangio first.
Okay.
I suggested earlier in the season that how are we going to go get the dude who's the mastermind of this soft defense. However, I'm only going to walk him back halfway because he's not playing his defense that he masterminded. He went back and started playing the Philly defense that Philly is known for. You know what I'm saying? And I believe the young boys went up to him and said, listen, coach, let us play up on these dudes. Let us, we can do this. You know what I mean? Opposed to him just imposing his will, he kind of slid back on his high horse a little bit and said, all right, I'm going to put the ball in your hand. You hear the players say it all the time. It's more of a player team now. You know what I mean? Where their input matters. I'm going to tell him more. I said, how you going to go get Dallas, a dude from Dallas who can't get out of the playoffs, right? But again, I'm only going to walk that back halfway because he still had the components, the key components to do it. And you added Saquon Barkley, you know what I'm saying, which made your job a lot more easier. However, both of their abilities to judge and assess what's going on and be able to correct it, I have to give them props for. You know what I'm saying? Their adjustments are, I got to give them props for their adjustments. That being said, I got to walk back Saquon Barkley. I was mad we got rid of Swift because I kind of have a little history with Swift. Again, his sister was in my daughter's class and I coached against his dad and whatever. So I was kind of, a little upset about that. However, I put him up there in the ranks of some of my favorites, Westbrook, Shady, Saquon, Wilbert Montgomery. You know what I mean? So in that light, I'm going to go ahead and say I had to walk back and humble myself, which is what y'all should start doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I had to humble myself and say, okay, this team is a better team because they're actually a team. You know what I'm saying?
They are. Now, Sab, this is big of you. This is a big phone call. I mean, how about that? Giving credit to Fangio and Moore and walking back the Swift thing. I sense growth here.
Still very delusional about Howie Roseman, though.
Well, we can
I'm
only
man,
knock.
Yeah,
I know, Sab. I appreciate this. We can, and Sab, good phone call. Listen, we can't ask for everything in one phone call. I mean, he's not going to give Howie credit. But I know. I mean, here's what I'll say to everyone out there who's just any question about Howie. He's going to go to the Hall of Fame one day. Howie Roseman's going to end up in Canton. There's only like 10 executives there. Howie's going to be there one day. And Hugh, by the end of the season, three-time that dude.
Three-time that dude. It's exciting. I mean, he's made some pretty good moves, man. And you know what? It's a hell of a way to bounce back because wasn't that long ago. I listened. I remember everything that everybody was talking about, how bad he was and how he might not be here because of that whole, Bryce Huff thing.
Well, I don't think
bounce
anyone
back,
wanted to
bounce
fire,
back game.
Fire Howie over one
no,
signing.
No, I think a lot of people don't like Howie.
I don't understand why you wouldn't like Howie. I mean, I know Self does it. We established that on the show before. Howie Roseman is, again, I'll just say it again, it's very simply. He's going to the Hall of Fame one day as an executive. He's been a great Eagles executive. Is he perfect? No. Everyone has a Bryce Huff here and there. That's a disaster. I get it. But his moves? Think about the last year of moves for Howie. Zach Bond. Obviously, what he did in the draft with Quinyon Mitchell and trading up for Cooper DeJean. I mean, these moves, Saquon Barkley, have been remarkable. Let's go to, I want to grab Alec in Lehigh, who wants to chime in on what someone said recently on the show. Alec, what's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good, Alec. What's up?
What's up?
Listen, so not Mike's take. I get it's like a boil your blood kind of take.
Mm.
But Jalen Hurts, ever since he took over the starter role, has won against almost every single AFC team that he has faced. He can be called a game manager. He can be called, a clock manager or whatever he wants. But the dude wins games.
There's no question.
The
yeah,
I mean,
Alec,
yeah
it,
absolutely.
And he goes back to college, too. I mean, he goes back to when he was at Alabama, Oklahoma. I mean, for the past, 8 years, I guess, that he's been a starting player on Saturdays or Sundays, he wins like 75% of his games.
Oh, absolutely. And then I also want to make a comment on just the way that they're playing this year. Listen, this team, man, I've been watching the Eagles since
like I was, since I can remember, since I was in diapers, I remember watching Hugh and all this other stuff. This team is more special than 04, 17, and 22. Just the way that they're balling together. Zach Bond is an absolute dog behind the line of scrimmage. I've never loved a defensive player as much as I love Zach Bond. And he's on a one-year contract for $1 million. Howie, if you're listening, man, you got to extend this dude.
It's a must, Alec. I can't do the roulette at linebacker again. You have someone here.
No, absolutely.
Let's go. Sign him up. Hand him the money. And, Alec, at this point, I mean, I think he's taken the mantle from Hugh as the ultimate 53 in Midnight Green.
Yeah, I agree.
I would agree with that. The dude just makes plays all over the place. Let's get another fucking championship. Sorry for my language.
That potty mouth. Potty mouth.
Alec, appreciate the phone call.
That's the excitement that Zach Bond brings out of people. I never brought that kind of excitement out of anybody.
I think you did. I mean, you were an all-pro. Let's not just, you know, we could poke fun at your beard and your takes, but you were a good player.
Zach is baller, though. It is. It was good to see. It's exciting to see
him. I think we need a poll question.
Doing his thing.
Has Zach Bond surpassed you as the ultimate 53 in an Eagles uniform? You know,
put that up so I can vote on it. You know
there
I'm
is something
for.
About, like, the in the now, people just, like, get caught up with in the moment. You might lose this poll.
I would not be surprised if I didn't. I would definitely not be. I mean, it sounds about right because again, it's in the moment, which I totally respect.
But
that.
To be fair, can we wait till Bond has a big playoff moment before he overtakes you as the ultimate 53?
I mean, but he is balling.
He's having a great season.
He made some plays. Especially when you talk about the caliber of running back that he's playing. You know what makes him so special, Joe, is the fact that Cat was running down on special teams last year.
I know.
And got an opportunity and has taken full advantage of it. And now, when you look at it, it's probably going to put him and his family in a great – well, he's already did that – put his family in a great financial position.
Well, he's on the path to a big contract. Yeah. Now, we hope it's with the Eagles, but – you know, the better he plays, he might price himself out of here.
Well, this is where I would say for Zach, for him to think about if he's listening, think about the coordinator that you're working with. Like, I'm not saying that he can't play, but there's a reason why he was a special teams player. I'm saying that with all due respect. Mm-hmm. It's because somebody didn't see his skill set, or somebody didn't know how to coach him up. You take the chance by going somewhere else of being in a situation where you're not going to get the same level of coaching and nobody's going to understand your skill set because, you know, coaches do that a lot.
Yeah.
Well, round peg, square hole, man. They do that a lot. So I would probably, you know, I know he's looking at a big payday and that's the thing, but you're in a position now and you're still a young guy. You could really turn this into something great.
And the history of Fangio with linebackers, when we had Patrick Willis on when they hired him, it's amazing, right? All these linebackers that have played under Fangio turn into great players, but like you're saying, you stick with them, you got a better chance. 215-592-9494, your chance to react to the win with us. I think it was the best win of the Sirianni era, and right now, the Eagles look at the best team in the NFL. We'll get more stuff from around the NFL later on, and on the other side, we'll break down the Eagles' path to the one seed. What is it? Do they have to win out? And which games do we need Detroit to lose? 215-592-9494. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Hey.